So like I pay for some of those classes, so you know, do a, you know, some funnel stuff, whatever it is, and I watch one of them, you know, I spent $50 one of them, like, wow, mm-hmm. I did the first two courses, like, this is garbage. They had a huge influencer, and that's and I was like, oh wow, people talking about good about him. I kind of saw him how he talked about, you know, in one of those TED Talks and things like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, but then I paid for his class, like, I'm like, this is garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's a cash grab, man.
It is a cash grab though.
That's all it is. A lot of times.
Hey there, welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another great episode of Gluten-Free Organic Thought Podcast. This is your co-host, Michael Wong, and with me, Robert Din.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Yeah, we have a good episode for you today. But first off, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what we're drinking today.
Yeah, what are you having?
I'm going back to this Jameson cold brew.
Cold brew? All right, not too bad.
It is literally, after my pour, it's this much left. So I might have finished this off today.
Nice. A year later. Nice.
A year later. Yeah, it's been at least a year later.
I know. I have my mushroom coffee today. So a little bit of oat milk.
Mushroom coffee. Yeah, how do they make coffee out of mushrooms?
I don't know. You could ask Forsomatic about it. So I heard this from Tim Ferriss 5-6 years ago. I've been drinking since then, you know, here and there. So
wait, wasn't he the one that made Bullet Coffee? Or he's like all about Bullet Coffee? Is he now about mushroom coffee?
He's always been about mushroom coffee. He still promotes that. Bullet Coffee, I'm not sure. I know Bullet Coffee is it's just recently though, you know. So
but just I remember I'm pretty sure like when I was listening to him back, I don't know, 4 years ago or something, 5 years ago, I thought he was all about the Bullet Coffee and that was his thing.
I know you're for Somatic mushroom coffee for sure because I've seen it all around and I got started from his coupon.
Huh. But what is it? Like, so mushroom coffee, instead of coffee beans, they use mushrooms?
No, it's both. It's organic coffee or with a little bit of organic mushrooms in it. Depends on the strand, different benefits, antioxidants. It's mostly for
like it's brain. Like magic mushroom coffee.
Yeah, but it's for your brain. It's mainly
All right. No Kahlua in there?
Nah, not Kahlua today. I'm taking Kahlua. It easy.
It's also pretty late, right, for you?
It's early. Come on, it's Saturday night, man. It's party time.
Oh, my God. And you're Florida, so obviously it's party time. Party time.
There we go. All right, so today's episode, we're going to discuss a little bit about the evolution of digital classes, mastermind classes, things like that, master classes, because one of the things that has been bugging me is that there's so many of them out there. There's so many sources. And if I were someone new, like I don't know anything, I'm 18 years old, I want to learn something. What do you start besides from YouTube? Even YouTube's exaggerated, you know? So mm-hmm. Before we get into that, what was your first exposure for a digital course? Was it college for you?
Digital courses? Yeah, probably college. Like I remember in college there was all of these, we were in school and then we played poker and then there was poker players who put up their like reviews of hand histories and stuff and they did like classes, right? It was like kind of class, but I think most of them are free if you wanted to.
Was this on YouTube?
No, they had their own sites and they still have their own poker sites, right? Okay. So they like have a class, they have, and I think that's how they do it. They drive traffic to their site, right? So, and they drive students there so they can like have all these videos and talk about poker and like help you get better. So I think that was the first time that I had exposure to it. And then I also like I've done quite a few of these like free online courses. I learned how to write Python code through
in college.
No, this was like after college, like right after.
Oh, no. I'm trying to say, like, what is your first time, you know, true exposure to your class that you thought you learned something out of it?
Yeah. And that, I think that was, so it was like outside of the poker thing, I think it was right after school, right after college. And I learned like SQL through Udemy or something.
Oh, okay.
And so then
like a Udemy class?
Yeah, like a Udemy class. I learned how to write SQL. And then right after that,
you gotta love the $10 classes, man.
What did you say?
You gotta love the $10 classes there.
No, it's a free class that I got.
Oh, even better.
I only have done free classes. Like, they have all of these sites like Coursera and all this stuff, but I only take the free classes. I don't ever like pay for it. But yeah, I learned SQL and I learned Python, both of which I use in my job now. So
nice.
That's
awesome.
It's been really, really helpful to like have all these classes that come up. When it first started, it was all like colleges and stuff that did it.
Yeah. Correct. So I remember my first online class in college. It was marketing. I was like, nope, I'm not doing this online. I was like, I gotta be the person to take this class. I literally lasted a week and then dropped a week. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go in person, because I feel like with marketing you had to be in person to learn certain things, but most people could do it apparently. So
there were courses in college that they had, and business had a lot of them. I remember I loved those classes
microeconomics. Age of Dinosaurs.
Age of Dinosaurs. Oh my god. I don't remember learning too much from the classes. That's why those weren't like the top. That wasn't my first time I was like, oh my god, I learned something. Because a lot of those are like, I put those classes on in the background while I played poker. And that was what I did for class. And so I never really like learned too much from online courses in college.
See, for me was truly exposure though that I actually learned, like you mentioned, it was actually watching YouTube class. I get YouTube video lessons, you can say. Excel is fun because I don't know how to do macros, VP lookup, some of that.
Oh, really?
and that guy's still around, man. Let me tell you, he does some amazing videos and he's entertaining. You just say making Excel entertaining.
Interesting.
For those who want to learn Excel, you're brand new. Let me tell you, Excel is fun. That's the name of the.
YouTube channel, huh?
YouTube channel, yeah.
Wow, Excel is fun. See, a lot like I learned that stuff too, but I learned it all through forums, right? I didn't do forums. Classes. I didn't have I didn't like go through like a course or like watch videos for it.
I remember to do it because it was my first. I was like, you know what? I need to get myself ready for my internship. It was my first internship. I was like, you know what? And they're like, you had to, it's just. I remember reading the job Excel proficient. So I was like, I don't know shit about Excel. I'm gonna learn as much as I can.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't do any of that in college. This is in college when you learn this stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, in college, you don't teach how to use Excel. Let's be honest.
Yeah, right? They don't teach you Excel at all. Like, you just go in, and hopefully you're good at, like, intuitive stuff with Excel.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. I remember, like, going through the different, like, you know, shortcuts or the macro stuff. If I didn't do that, actually, I think I would have had a hard time at my internship, because I actually had to end up using a lot of the stuff for data analysis stuff. So,
oh, really?
And then the class, I think the year before that, I took VB. So we ended up doing VB products and using that what's called Excel sheet as a database to pass through the VB data.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I know.
I remember doing that at Merrill Lynch when I was there. I was the macro guy, and then now I look back and I'm like, oh my god, we did everything through Excel. That is like the lowest level of a database you can use, but it works. If it works, it works.
It works though, right?
Yeah.
may not be the most secure thing, but it works.
And the data is not all. Yeah, it's not secure and it's not like redundant, right? So so like data changes all the time.
Yeah. So then after college, I remember taking a Harvard class, CS50 Introduction to Programming class. I was like, you know, I'm so rusty in programming. Let me tell you. That guy, that professor, if I were in that live class, I would enjoy it a lot. He did such a good job because they teach you how to pseudocode a little bit, but with their own little program. They give you homework. It was like the most detailed, and they even had TAs for a free class. It was such a good class.
That's why I signed up for a lot of like Coursera classes.
Yeah, Coursera EDX, that's what it was,
Oh, that was on Coursera too. Yeah. Like I liked the classes where you're getting like Ivy League school.
Yeah.
It was like I don't know if it's I'm pretty sure those are the Ivy League teachers, but like you're like they're no, they it are. has a good name. And you go through the classes and like they are very knowledgeable, right? Yeah. So you can see how you can learn stuff in these classes.
Well, you could also look at the profile, right? And you can see what the master's degrees is, what did the school. Yeah. Like, for example, I took Introduction to Artificial Intelligence by the Stanford class by this professor. I'm like, this is an intro class. I'm like, damn, I'm struggling.
Some of those classes are way harder than you're expecting. Like, you're like, oh, it's an intro class, and then you go in and you're like, I don't know how to even do anything. Yeah. But luckily I didn't pay for this thing.
So, keep in mind, I'm doing this in my luxurious time, spare time after work.
Yeah, you know? Spare time.
So, yeah. But anyway, so for me, I've definitely learned a lot from some of the digital classes and courses. I still do 9 days. I still do some of those. One of the things that, you know, I kind of wanted to discuss is that I've started seeing a lot more of those, but in terms of just bad quality. Like, I feel like there's so much dilution in it. And listen, I get it. It will be cool to have a class of everything, right? And especially 9 days, as social media gets more powerful and everything gets more open and more, you know, and everybody just try to become an expert at everything. And it's just such a hard, I feel like if I were in college again and I'm trying to learn something new, I would not know where to start.
Like, I don't know. I feel like YouTube has everything now. If you want to learn anything, you can go on YouTube, type it in, and something will come up.
But even in YouTube, though, like, even some of the people have 2 million subscribers versus, and then you can tell some of the stuff is outdated as well, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's hard to pick the right quality, and then you watch 2 hours later, like, I didn't learn shit, you know.
I mean, if you're just starting, mm-hmm. I feel like you're gonna learn anyways. Even you learn the wrong thing or like the old ways to do something, you're still learning something. But like, yeah, that's why I think when we first started, like the courses with the names attached to them, like school names, like people of interest that like are experts in the field, something like a masterclass.
It had that influence.
Something like a masterclass where like these are like professionals who are doing it and they're teaching it. It's something that's. I think that gives it that extra quality or that extra like.
Well, it's credential, emphasis, right? It's credibility.
Credibility.
It gives that credibility, mm-hmm. and I get that. I 100% agree in that part. One of the things that I feel like, if we were to be able, let's say, you know, take a YouTube class, like I'll be honest with you, I wish someone told me that, hey, you can YouTube everything you wanted literally during my high school time.
You know? Oh, in high school, you couldn't. In high school, there wasn't YouTube enough. There wasn't enough YouTube to tell people to do that. But nowadays, you can be like, yeah, go to YouTube. There's people who have been posting these like stuff for 10
years. Learning algebra, learning Chinese, you know?
Yeah.
I follow this lady who gets a Chinese phrase every single day, you know? Yeah. Actually, Chinese, I think it's Chinese is fun. That's what's the name of the website. Or learning Chinese is fun, something like that.
Yeah. I think I've seen this lady that you're talking about.
But anyway, what I'm saying is that because now with the influence of social media, I think kids nowadays, they're going to be more scattered around for sources, not just YouTube. That's what I'm trying to get to.
You think that people will look outside of YouTube, even though everything is collected in one place?
Dude, if you see an influencer try to talk about a TikTok and you're an 18, 17-year-old kid, and you're, oh, hey, go check out my digital course, blah, 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 you'd be surprised.
I also think the influencers, YouTube started it, right? Like the YouTubers that came up, they started getting followers, and then they decided they needed something, they needed other streams of revenue. And a lot of these YouTubers and influencers have started creating courses to either help people in ways like, for example, like there's these guys like Simple Pickup. Have you seen these guys? It was three guys who went and just picked up girls, and that was their YouTube.
Wait, was this in Vegas? I remember this.
They were all over. I think they went all over. They went to college campuses. They went all over just picking up girls and like helping people build confidence. And there's every video they had went viral, right? So then they started a company, Simple Cut or some Jump Cut. And that was to teach other people how to make viral videos. How to make their YouTube videos more viralable, like something that could go viral, right?
That's crazy.
So like they started their own course, and I think they make way more money doing that now because that's their full time thing than they were
instead of trying to create content all consistently.
And I think there's a lot of YouTubers or influencers that are doing stuff like that, where they've gone through these experiences and now they're building out courses. Some of them are just trash, right? Like some of them are trash, but you know, like they like they're looking for other ways to make money, and this is one of the ways. It's to build out courses.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, let me tell you, I don't think everybody should be teaching, because otherwise you're just falling the blind sometimes, and like the blind need the blind, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but also at the same time, not everyone could be the good teacher, professor, you know? Like, I mean, to be honest with you, I suck at teaching. I used to be a TA. I used to be a horrible TA, I'll admit that, you know? But I'm just saying, like, a lot of people who think they're good teaching, by the end of the day, if you don't know, you don't practice, you never know, right? And plus, you can obviously get better. I'm not trying to discourage anybody, but there are some people literally who doesn't even put the effort in doing the right thing, the right content to try to do the like if you look at Udemy, literally watch some of those free courses. There's some really bad quality ones out there, like, and they're free.
It's like random amateurs that are making these videos.
Yeah, correct. Uh-huh. And they just do it just to make video, and then they try to drive that course to another course that they made. And even those $10, whatever it is, I mean, they're just doing it for the money's sake, not for the actual, you know, the value that they're trying to create.
Also, like a lot of the influencer ones, not just the people that are just like making these up, and a lot of the influencer ones are also trash. I signed up for this course because I followed this one guy who he taught how to code, right? Like he was on YouTube, like every video is like teaching you how to code, how to think about stuff, how to go through it. And so he was making courses to teach you how to build something, right? Like teaching you how to write Python or do something like that, right? So I signed up for the class, and literally the whole class was him telling us to copy and paste this code into it was a lot of I get it, the first time you do stuff, like you have a code base and you want to copy it over, and I went through the first five classes and they were all like, all right, we're gonna copy this over, but he doesn't explain what these the syntax for the entire thing. So like say you have a block of code and you want to go through each line and say, this is what this is doing, this is what this is doing. He didn't do any of that. He just made it, and then he's like, okay, you copy this over, pull it out, and then it like you have like, something like, that works,
just
right?
Trust me. Copy and paste and just trust me.
And then like he's like, at the end of the course, you're gonna build out a portfolio of programs that have worked, and you can put that into a job.
So it makes you build a library so that
you can you have a portfolio. But if you don't know how that portfolio works, that portfolio is useless. Yeah. No one's gonna be like, oh, okay, I see your portfolio, this is good stuff. And then they ask you any question about it, like, why did you choose to do this instead of that? And then you don't have an answer. That's not good either, right? So
because I was told to copy and paste.
Yeah, because you know what? I found this code and it worked, so that I used it. Like, that's not good. That's not good coding skills, or that's not good for an interview. So I went through a course like that, and it was really just.
He had a big following.
He had a huge following on YouTube because a lot of his courses were actually good, right?
Yeah.
Or his YouTube videos were good, right? People, and he was personable, so people liked him. And then I think he just needed he wanted a way to make more like another source of income.
Well, okay, so to your point, I do feel like some of those influencers or follower people like who have made it big, they're just trying to capitalize on their own fame. I get that.
Yeah.
I 100% agree. And even they just do it because they could put, and then they just don't spend enough time to put the value in those courses, and they can and just get able to charge whatever they want because they have the following, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
say you have 100,000 viewers on YouTube, and say 1,000 of them choose to buy your
$100
course, it's a lot of money right there that you're making just off of like you do this, and then you can always repeat, like continually put this out and get
and
more.
Only that you get emails address from those people and you can still target those people.
It's
crazy though. I completely agree.
It's easy money.
Well, and that's, you know, this comes down to like you know, the quality of your classes. Like, I wish there was a website, like obviously, like not a website, like I wish there was like a add-on extension to a Chrome to ask you, hey, whether this is a good quality or not for every single class that you click on.
That would be a good idea to add a to have an add-on that like, oh, you're on this class.
Yeah.
On this class, here's the, some reviews for this class. And then you have like a star rating or something.
So recently, the last 2 years, I got into last 2 years, I got into masterclass.com, right? And I got sucked into it during one of the Black Friday sale, I think 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And I started watching Art of Negotiation or the Chris Voss class. I think this was the Chris Voss class. And I was watching also like Cyrus Blake's class where they, you know, kind of talk about entrepreneurship and stuff. Listen, some of those classes are great. They're not detailed enough, but they're good enough that you can pick up, learn things here and there. Like masterclass.com, like you.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a very generic, it's like a way of thinking that you never thought of you could think that way. And okay. It's kind of nice to have an insight on how they think. Like for example, Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney at that time, he talks about how he had made certain decision with Marvel, how he had to make this a certain decision for certain things, how it went through the thought process, why did he decide to acquire that or not, like things like that. Like it's crazy how mind-blowing some of those the rigorous thought process that they had to go through.
Mm-hmm. So, did you find those classes? So you've been saying like, you found those classes, you learned stuff from those classes.
So yes and no. Like for example, the Sarah Blake class, I learned about more about her moral compass and why she did it herself. And in the struggle of entrepreneurship, that was more like an inspirational class, but also how creative she was. You know what I mean? Like she did crazy workarounds. You know?
Can you give a background of who she is so people know?
So Sarah Blakely is the founder of Spanx. It's a very big brand that does Lady Spanx. I guess it's not even Spanx anymore. It's like a version. It's the before the yoga pants. How about that?
Yoga pants.
Yeah. Okay. So it blew up everywhere. She hustled everywhere, like, you know. She used to sell fax machines and stuff around door to doors and one of the salespeople. It's crazy, her story. But long story short, but going back to just learning the different leaders going through. I guess not just leaders. People who have different skill sets, like even Bob Iger, right? He talks about how he became the CEO in a sense. But it also talks about the mentality he had to think about the breakthrough and not to react. Like always be on the, even if something bad happens, talks about how you always have to think about be proactive instead of being reactive.
Mm.
And then the decision making, stick by your decision making. Like no matter what, whether it's good, bad, or result, just stick by it and then fix it after because like.
It's like when Trump makes some decision and all he does is double down. He learned from Iger.
Iger doesn't double down though. He just sticks by it. He doesn't double down at all to the fire. He fixes it.
Okay. Yeah. So, my experience with I also have Masterclass. I bought it the first year and then now my company pays for it. So
how many of you watch?
I've maybe watched 4 or 5. I don't know. Not very many. I haven't watched so many. But I watched.
Did you watch the Ramsey one? Ramsey one. I actually learned that one a lot.
Is it good?
It's actually pretty good. It's very detailed.
Huh. The ones that I've watched have been very generic and very beginner friendly, right? So I watched a couple of the poker ones. I watched.
Ivy one, right?
There's a Phil Ivy one and a Daniel Negreanu one that I watched both of those. I didn't really watch them. I like put them on in the background, but none of it, like there was no point in either of those where me as someone who plays poker, like learned anything, but I can see how someone who's a beginner, who's never had poker experience at all.
I was going to ask you that. Because you had experience in it and you played the field.
Yeah. I think if I had no idea what poker was, it would help me think about how to do stuff. But for me, as someone who even intermediate, I don't think would get any benefit out of this type of.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Okay, so besides that beginning class, did you go through a class that you actually learned something?
There's a lot of classes that I've watched where, I just have no idea how. Like I just didn't has no experience. So then I didn't know it was I learned stuff, but it wasn't like something that I can use right away.
But let me ask you this. What made you decide to get it first? Because obviously the first year you say you pay for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what made you decide? What class threw you in? Like kind of captivated you?
I don't remember. I have to go look at my I don't even remember. It was such an unmemorable class. that's what it was. Oh my god.
So for me, my first class that I love watching was what's called Steph Curry class. So ooh. I wanted to get better shooting. Like I was like, you know what? I need to get better shooting somehow. You know. So I can practice all I want, but if I don't know my own habits,
yeah,
you know, like, and how do I fix my habits and watch my own habits? You know, it's just, so I was just watching and that just captivated. I'm like, wow, the amount of detail and not only that, how he breaks down films.
Yeah.
And I break down play for certain things. It makes you a little bit smarter player. I've gotten for sure gotten better because obviously I started putting my reps into trying to practice as much as I can, mm-hmm. but also he talks about how his core and his stamina makes him more effective shooter because it doesn't sack.
It's also important to make.
So I think so. His class kind of drew me in. It was a free class, you know, because it's like the first 7 days free. I bench watched that the whole 7 days. I didn't want to watch. I didn't want to pay for it, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a Black Friday, and then Black Friday came. I was like, you know what? It's half off. Why not? $60 for the whole year. It's a steal. And then the next class that kind of blew my mind was what's called Roberts. What's her name? Roberts. Oh my God, what's her name? She's the reporter. Roberts. Robin Roberts. No, is it Robin Roberts? No.
What?
What's her name?
Let me get on Masterclass so I can see.
No, yeah, it is Robin Roberts. She teaches about authentic communication, effective communication, because she's a big reporter. Talks about her career, how she started, and everything. I think that from a soft skill set standpoint, I feel like it woke me up that I like, wow, I got so much to learn. Like even though that class, I don't think it was generic, but I thought it made me second guess everything that I said, especially like in front of a client or the way to react to a client, communicate it, how effective it is. You can test people during a presentation to see if they pay attention to you. Like she was like, and then be able to kind of have different tones of professional tone versus like a specific tone, like, you know, just be mm-hmm. able to dial it back. But I don't know, I thought it was pretty good for our class. But like you said, I think some of this stuff could be generic, some of the stuff cannot be, but and it depends what you look for, I feel like.
Yeah, I think you have to be looking for gems inside of what they're teaching.
But then the Ramsey class, I didn't expect that. I mean, I knew I was going to expect something to learn something, but man, this guy is like, he went full on detail, let me tell you.
Wow.
You had to pause to keep up, replay it, pause, keep playing it. Like...
Yeah. So, that's cool. Yeah. I don't know. I've only done a few courses on there, and I haven't finished almost any of them. It's like I would do like...
finish?
Like... I watch a couple, but like you have to put time in, and like a lot of these, like you have to watch, right?
You really have to watch. Yeah.
For me, when I'm putting stuff on the TV, I'm not watching it most of the time.
Because you're doing work.
I'm doing something else. Yeah. I'm like editing. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. So it's like that type of class. Like I have to be in the mental state to like sit there and like learn.
Gotcha. So obviously, you know, they do provide in terms of content quality. Sometimes it can But at least, so when I started taking stand-up comedy class, I watched, what's his face?
Steve Martin, yeah.
Yeah, Steve Martin's class in it. Let me tell you, it helped me so much because he focused on talking about writing. Mm. And I was going through the process of writing. I kind of understood that. So I was actually exercising what he was saying.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And so I was taking my stand-up comedy class and I was watching him bench, you know, I bench watched most of his stuff first before like finishing my stand-up comedy class. It helped a lot of the way my thought process writing, but then, and then I realized obviously there's a lot of level, you just gotta practice. You gotta be able, but he's such a good writer. Like the amount of stuff he picks up, it's just so crazy. Like, like it's a whole different mind level, you know?
True.
Yeah. But well, anyway, what I'm saying, like compared to that, right? And you compare that to other classes like in Udemy or even like Mastermind or whatever it is, things like that. You know, like it's just sometimes it's just level of quality may not be there.
Yeah, and I think when you're looking at it, if it's somebody that you don't know, like, yeah. A lot of times you're looking at it and you look at the person teaching and you're like, do they have the background to give you like what you're looking for, right? Like to really explain to you what they're thinking, and or do they have credibility? And that's a lot of what I look for when I'm looking at these classes, is like, where is the credibility? Anybody can do any of this stuff and like put whatever on, but that credibility, you can't just like make it up, right?
Yeah, I agree. It's very hard.
Even like YouTubers who, if you have a YouTube channel and you have, I don't know, 100,000, a million subscribers, right? Like, there's a level of credibility there because 100,000 people have said, oh, I like this guy, like I like what this guy is saying, right? So that level.
Or he could just be a good salesmanship, selling good YouTube videos.
That's true. He could be super viral and just be like,
it's hard though, be really good at that. I mean, I get it. There are certain YouTube video people who focus on specialty, just giving value back. I 100% agree. I feel like, Graham?
Graham Stephan.
Yeah, Graham Stephan. He does a good job of putting efficient quality, but sometimes he does miss a lot of details.
That's true.
But it's good. It's good for beginners, though.
I've watched Graham Stephan a couple episodes.
Yeah.
A couple of, like, videos, and I can't get into it. It's just not my style.
No, but it's good for beginners, though. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's good for beginners, but he has so little content in every single one of his episodes.
Yes, it's not enough. It's just enough to touch the surface.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? Like, when you're doing stocks, you need to buy low and sell high. And then that's his whole video, but he makes it a 12-minute video where he's like talking, like he says all kinds of different things. And like, I don't know. I feel like there's not enough content in his content. That's what I'm
trying to say. He scratches the surface, gives you enough, and then make you think about it. That's about it.
Yeah.
But he does a good job of making the quality of the video, though. You know what I mean? Like, different
video
angle,
qualities are very good. Yeah.
Give you a different angle, gets you engaged, things like that. He does a good job at that.
Yeah, but not engaging me. It's just.
Well, that's the same. You're a different audience. They may not be targeting you, though.
Yeah, he's definitely not.
but let me ask you this: do you think there's a time where there's just too much, you know, information for certain things?
Is there too much information? I think right now we have too much information in general. Just there's we have the entire internet, and yet we're everything is available. Yeah. So it makes it so like anybody who has any side of an argument has like ammunition for
that's true.
For them.
It is, and especially like. One of the things is that I feel like with you know more sites popping up with people teaching how to make master classes, online classes, I just feel like there's going to be more saturated market, right? And it's just going to be so much information out there, but you know sometimes it's like you don't know what's good or bad, and mm-hmm. just there's no way to get through it. It's just there's no way.
Right, that's true. You know? Especially these classes where there's not a review process for a lot
correct,
of
yeah.
it. Yeah. That's why I say go to YouTube. Like there's like a system in place.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Like views, like the number of views as well as there's like a ratings, there's like thumbs up, thumbs down. But like it is not perfect, but at least there's some sort of at least you can get some sort of idea this is what people like, right? Whereas other classes or like a random class that you see as like an ad on Facebook, you don't really have an understanding of if this review is good or not. And I've seen some of those classes, and then I'll like look up the class, like I'll Google like class and review or whatever. And then you'll get some like forums that tell you, oh, this thing was trash or not.
Yeah.
and like you can find some, but not all of them have like reviews.
Yeah. But so, you know, jumping into you know, maybe a different segue in a sense, though. But I'm not bashing, you know, digital marketing classes. I mean, digital class in general, right? But I just feel like there has to be a method, a way to weed through some of these courses. Because I pay a decent amount of classes for someone, you know, some of those free ones. No, some of those classes I paid
for. You paid a lot for the free ones? Oh my God, they got you, Mike.
I mean to say, like, I pay for some of those classes, so, you know, through some funnel stuff, whatever it is, and I watch one of them, you know, I spent $50 one of them, like, wow, mm-hmm. I did the first two courses, I'm like, this is garbage, you know? But then there are some people who, you know, who does a good job of actually doing the class, you know, like, I feel,
and it
like,
might be that some of those courses that are garbage are like they just don't have they're not explaining it correctly, but there's a lot of good information in there.
That could be too as well.
But you need both.
They have a huge.
You need both to be able to like reach the audience, right? To teach somebody, yeah. You need both.
Well, effective communication. Mm-hmm. I feel like they had a huge influencer, and that's. And I was like, oh, wow, people talking about good about him. I kind of saw him, how he talks about, you know, in one of those TED Talks and things like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, but then I paid for his class. Like, this is garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's a cash grab, man.
It is a cash grab, though.
That's all it is. A lot of times. The one that I paid for, the YouTuber guy that I paid for, in the Discord, like, there was a Discord for all the students. Yeah. In the Discord, people were talking about how this was such a cash grab because nobody learned anything. Like, it was bad.
That's really bad. That's really bad.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. We're going to do the extra MSG funny session. So what do you have for us today, Robert?
I have this picture here. It's just a recruiter. It's somebody who got an email from his recruiter saying that an email saying, great news, the hiring manager is impressed with your resume and would love to speak with you. And then apparently the recruiter was not very good and replied to that and sent it to the manager and says, I'm talking to this nerd tomorrow, graduates this month and has some good experience.
But he replies back to the person.
Yeah. So instead of like forwarding or like replying to like the manager or something.
I'm talking to this nerd tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I want to see the reply for this. Oh my God. I wish there was a reply for this. That would be so good. I wish there was a reply for that.
This is like the worst thing you could get as like a when you're interviewing for jobs and stuff. You're like, what the hell is wrong? I don't think I would want to work for this place anyways if that's how they talk.
I know, seriously.
This is a work email and they call somebody a nerd in the middle of the in the email.
Culture, you know?
It's a culture problem for me.
Yeah, I know. All right, here's mine. It's a little bit dark, but it's funny.
Oh, we were talking about dark humor last episode with Karen. Let's see.
Yeah. So it is a picture of Ben & Jerry ice cream. It's a new flavor. And the title says, make with pieces of real childhood drama. And it says, Vermont's finest Ben & Jerry's custardy battle. Like custardy.
Custardy.
And it's like a parent fighting for a kid and the judge in the middle of the, it's like the image of the, but it looks like a Ben & Jerry ice cream though. So.
Custardy battle. Oh yeah. My God.
And it says custard ice cream with salty caramel swirls.
Oh my God! The picture on the actual carton is a kid in front of a judge, and the parents are pulling his arms, so they're like trying to get custody of him. This is so bad. Oh my God! Dark humor for real. I like it.
Yeah, it's funny though.
Custody battle.
All right, jumping back into the session. All right, so let me ask you this: if you were to give an advice to 18-year-old kid, right? Mm-hmm. Besides YouTube, what do you tell them to do? What would you tell them to how to beat out some of those shitty courses? Like, what would you do?
I would tell them to go to reputable sites, like somewhere like Udemy or Coursera. But like, I would only be looking for content from universities.
That's the first step.
It depends on what you're looking to learn, right?
That's true.
Yeah. If you're looking to learn like actual school, like bookish type of stuff, yeah. I would go to the universities. These are all like very high end Ivy League schools that are on here. So like you can get a really good education just off of these like free courses that they give.
Sometimes for free, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
If it's something like you want to learn how to play the guitar or something.
Yeah.
Like that stuff is all like anything where you're learning a skill like that, you probably can learn that on YouTube. Like that's very easy to learn. And then things like motivation and like listening to experts in the fields, like I think you can find the like talks that they've had. But it would like you would have like I feel like you need to find the experts in whatever field you're looking for and find what they're saying about how to think about stuff.
I feel like there, so since I dove into the marketing world in a sense, like I see a lot of people who is like try to teach you how to do run Facebook ads, you know? And there's so many bad courses out there.
Oh,
So
really? There's really bad courses out there.
many bad courses out there, like horrible. Because just because they've done it once and they've gone viral and then they forget. Guess what? Facebook upped this algorithm now, guys. This
Yeah,
won't
that's
work.
true.
This won't work next year. And
That
then they
is
watch,
true.
then people buy courses who happened like the last 5 years, 5 years ago, you know? It
Yeah.
happens,
Yeah.
you know?
Stuff like that where like you gotta learn how to work the algorithm. I don't know
Yeah.
how to learn that stuff.
It's just so hard to weed through some of those shady courses. It's just very
And
hard.
what's the motivation of anybody to teach you how to learn that stuff?
That's true. You
Right?
gotta
Like
set their motivation. Yeah.
if they're putting out a class, it's because they have some motivation. Maybe it's a cash grab, maybe it's not. But why would they teach you their like innermost secrets
Or
right
their
away?
secrets. Yeah,
Especially
that's
like
true.
the most current secret that they have, right? Like
That's
why would
true.
they teach that right now? And there has to be some motivation behind them actually giving that information out.
Maybe they're being nice.
It's possible, but I haven't seen that in many people. Like I unless they're like super successful already and then now
Correct. And
they're
then they
trying to
just try to
give
give
back.
back. Yeah, that's true.
But people who are like influencers, like if you talk to people on YouTube or like YouTubers and stuff, I don't think anybody's giving you the keys to their algorithm, like of what they
Of
think about the
course.
algorithm, right? Because
But that's
that
the
affects their business.
Yeah. Unless their business changed already and then they're
Yeah.
trying to do it based on the past business, I get
Yeah.
that. That's a whole different story, right?
Yeah.
So I do have a good friend who done successful stuff with their Facebook stuff, with selling items and stuff like that. And now they pivot already. So they're doing consulting, they're doing different things, they're doing seminars. So their focus is how to get, but they're doing a good job of actually staying on top of at least the latest game, the latest changes. So that way, and even though even though one of the things is that it's very hard to find that, like, because sometimes most people pay for one-time fee and it's useless after a year.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know, it's definitely interesting to see that. But and also I feel like there, especially if I didn't know anything today besides YouTube video, I just feel like there's too much sources out there. There's just too much to narrow down. Like, and I feel like you would get distracted by all the different sources. I don't know. One of my advice would be probably not just narrow it down to one or two at a time and just focus on that.
Focus on those singles,
Yeah.
the single source, and even if it might not all be the
Great. But at
best
least just,
information, but at least it's
yeah.
consistent information.
Yeah. So focus on one and then at least go through it all of it. Make sure that, okay, that doesn't make sense. Then you move to the next one. But don't scatter yourself too much because you get mixed conflict sometimes. Sometimes you do get the mixed information from different courses.
Yeah, that's
It
true.
happens though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's why like when I was looking at stuff, I think Coursera was my number one like go-to place to look for
Yeah.
classes. If I needed any class, I would go into there first, and then
Yeah.
otherwise I would go and look for other things.
So I think we were talking off air. I was like, one of my first classes, like, I was actually not off air, obviously. I think earlier today, earlier the episode. We're talking about the AI class. I was like, wow, some of this is just crazy. Like, I was like, it was intro to AI, but then I saw Google's classes and it's free because you can get certified through them, by the way. There's nothing even crazier. I'm like, wow. Maybe I'm just out of, I don't know, having been in school for so long, or maybe just this is stuff supposed to be basic knowledge. Maybe I'm just out of it. I don't know, but
No, things
it's just
change,
heavy.
especially like things like newer
Technology stuff.
technology,
Yeah.
something like where some stuff that we didn't have before, like machine learning that
Yeah.
wasn't available during when we were in
By the way,
school and
that's free
stuff.
too in Google for certification machine learning. It's crazy.
I also remember a few years ago, I was following this. I don't know who it was. Maybe it was a YouTuber as well. I think I just do too much YouTube. But yeah, I think it was a YouTuber
You
as
do a lot
well.
of YouTube.
But he was he went through and was like, you don't need an MBA. Oh no, I think it was an article. Somebody wrote an article and they're like, you don't need an MBA. You can get an entire MBA on free courses. And then he went through and listed all these like
there's all that accounting classes.
Every yeah. course that you need to do, and this will give you an Ivy League education, MBA if you just go through these courses, and like that type of stuff is very useful, right? Like,
well, that's very valuable though. That's yeah. the aggregate part. Yeah,
it's very useful. You can go through and like get an MBA from like an Ivy League school for free. Just put in time every night to do it.
Actually, yeah. You want something really funny? I was during my master class. I did a master in management and I was learning I think it was a marketing class. Yeah, it was a marketing class. And the way they taught the marketing class is just I didn't like it as much. So I started watching this marketing class from Stanford at the same time. And it was really the same subject, but I was learning more from that. Mm-hmm. And I was learning from my own class. But obviously I still had to study for my own tests and stuff. But it's just the way they convey information.
Yeah.
And the way the class is structured. Like marketing could be really boring or could be really entertaining. Depends how it's taught.
Yeah.
It's the same thing for accounting. Accounting is boring as hell. And
wait, are you saying that accounting can be fun to learn?
Yeah, accounting can be fun.
Wow. I've never heard this. And I don't think
so. I was watching this series, I think it's also Coursera, Managerial Accounting. This professor taught a really good job because they use examples, like real examples that make you visual tie that concept to that piece mm-hmm. and have it broken down.
Yeah.
So I feel like even though it's like, fun is like engaging.
Engaging is a different
thing. Accounting is already boring enough already, but if you make it engaging enough, you know, for an online class, I thought it did a pretty good job.
So you said before that you had a marketing class online, but you had to go in person to learn it. Do you think that you have the same do you have the same idea for classes now? Would you rather go in person or would you rather be online?
Yeah. For example, I would never learn any engineering classes online. None of the engineering classes should be learned online. I'm sorry. I don't care.
Why do you say that?
Because it's very hard. It's like, for example, let's say that you want to do dynamics, right? And you want to be able to do like a lab for that. It's going to be hard to learn that.
I get if you have a lab, like you need to actually do something. But if you're just learning, if you're just learning the idea, the concept, the theory
behind it. Yeah. I guess
I don't think you need it. I think it's only like practical stuff that you need to be in person for.
I don't know. Something about being in live class sometimes, just interacting with classmates helps a lot because you can't just chit chat. Everybody's looking at you in the camera. Mm. Like, you know, sometimes you could just, you know, sit and say, hey, how do you do this? You know, explain it to me inside, you know, or I don't know. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just that interaction there. Mm. Like, you can't do that on Zoom. Like, literally, you can't, hey,
they have breakout rooms now in Zoom that you can break out.
Yeah, but the teacher has to break out for you, though. You see what I'm saying? Like, so. It's just different mentality, that's all it is, the way it's being taught.
So you're talking a lot in class. That's what we're hearing. When you're in class, you're talking a lot to other students and you're not paying attention to the teachers and things like that.
Well, sometimes it's just harder to follow because they go so fast.
Mm. I like online classes way better than in person.
For example, English class online, 100% any day. I'm okay with that.
I think it's things that need something personal. Like that you need to personalize it. I think those are harder to learn. But I think stuff like if you wanted to do like a math course.
Yeah.
I didn't go through engineering classes. They might be different than what are in my head. But if you just need to go and work through problems and stuff and work through solutions and like all you do is do theoretical stuff. Yeah. I don't see a point in being in class. I think most classes can be taught online and
I agree, but it requires a certain skill set for a teacher to teach it well.
Yeah. Also, it takes like the students have to be willing to learn that way.
Also to pay attention.
Because it's much easier to like to put it on in the background and just like not worry about it.
Oh yeah. They could be watching video next to each in the Zoom class. You never know. Seriously, yeah. I'm not kidding.
I used to play poker while I was watching my lectures.
Like, see, you're a bad student. See, you know,
I learned it. It's not a bad example. I had the wherewithal to do homework and like do other stuff. Like the lectures, I didn't really I did it because they track what lectures you watch, right? And that's really what happened. Like, if they just had like homeworks and stuff for me to do, because for me, I'm a physical learner, right?
Well, you're so practical. You had to take what you learned to apply it.
I need to apply it. I need to be doing it. I can't really just like listen to you and really know what you're talking about.
It's the same thing for me. I'm the same way, because engineers, you learn it, you apply it, you got to do it, practice it, and you know,
yeah.
You
get used to it. So like, right? So like for me, like if I'm in class, I'm not learning anything because I'm just listening to you talk about it, and I don't really learn as much.
And see, for me, being in person sometimes it makes me stay focused. That's why. That focus, you know, mentality, you know.
I also like the you can learn this on your own time, whenever you have time. I like that better.
That's true too.
Yeah. Every morning, 8:30 in the morning, you be in class to learn. I'm like, I am not even ready to wake up right now.
Listen, I remember I used to be really good at chemistry, but my chemistry lab was 7:30 in the morning.
Oh my God.
But I was like, oh my God, Tuesdays, I hate Tuesdays. And it's for 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And like, I hate Tuesdays, 7:30 in the morning classes. And coming back from Monday night, Mother's Night, I was like, oh my God, I got to get up at 7:30, 5 hours sleep.
I did so poorly in all of my biology classes. Like, biology classes were huge auditoriums.
Bio lab too? Don't forget bio lab.
Bio class was always a huge auditorium at like 7:30 in the morning, 8 in the morning. And I never made it to class. I always slept. When I was in class, I would fall back asleep. It was just too early. I need the ability to just like learn on my own pace. And that's what I think online courses are good for.
I guess. I don't know. So for me, most kids are not like us, self-motivated, to be honest with you.
Right.
So,
and that's also the thing, right? A lot of people aren't self-motivated, so they won't actually do it. Like, you'll put it out there and they won't do it. But I feel like for people who can do it, it's much better. I don't know. For me, it was much better.
I remember what motivated me to go to that 7:30 in the morning class, because the TA was hot. That's the reason why I went. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to see her. It's going to be a good TA, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah, at least I pay attention, you know? So
Does the TA teach? The TA just sits there, right?
No, it's chem lab. So they had to teach.
Oh, yeah. Okay, chem lab.
So I was like, you know what? I could listen to her three hours every Tuesday. It's fine. 7:30 in the morning.
This is your first year?
This is my second. Chem 2 was, I guess, second semester. First year, second semester.
Yeah, I think after my first year or something, I just never booked anything before 9:30.
Well, keep in mind, though, first year, you don't have much of a choice.
Yeah, first year, you just have to take the courses.
If you're out of luck, you're stuck with that. Like, literally, like, because you're not, sometimes it's just too many people compete for the same slot.
Yeah,
you know? All right. So we're going to pivot. So I do want to ask you one question. If someone to teach a master class within a circle of friends of us, right, who would be a good teacher, do you think?
In our circle of friends? Of
friends, yeah. Who would be really good at this?
Oh,
I'm just curious.
Oh man, I don't know. I think maybe Sammy would be a good teacher. Okay. I think he just like cares and he's funny, right? Like, I feel like you need like a level of comedy to be able to keep people in. Like,
okay, I agree with you. I was gonna say Sammy too, with his voice, like professional voice, you know.
Oh, he has that professional voice for sure.
And then does, you know, insurance. So funny. Tell Sammy you should do a digital course on how to get a good quote for insurance
people. Yeah, he'll be on there like, hey everybody, like welcome to class.
welcome to insurance 101.
Yeah. I think I also need that level of
entertainment,
right? So like even like when we went to church, like church is so boring. I don't know who out there goes to church and likes it, but I hated church.
A lot of people, by the way.
I hated church because it was so boring and the preachers are always so boring. But then you go to some churches and the preachers like funny guys, right? Like a lot of these like internet, like the big mega churches now, like those guys are pretty funny. Like,
they're entertaining.
They're entertaining when you're like listening.
And they have
to
a DJ for some of those musics. Yeah. You know, they have DJs.
Yeah. They have I went to one and they were having like it was like a concert before the sermon. And I was like, dang, I can see how the younger kids would go to this.
Dude, man, I know exactly what you're talking about. So in LA, I wanted to meet people. I started going to the church, to like a non, denominational church. Mm-hmm. And this church has its own music production. They made their own music. He has his own studio.
Oh,
and
really?
They actually, yeah, they're on Spotify too, man. Like the daughter's pastor, she's an amazing singer. What's it called? It started with an M.
Oh my God. I went to Hillsong. They have them in LA.
It is Hillsong. Sorry, my bad. Hold on. It is Hillsong. Sorry.
Oh yeah, Hillsong. That's Justin Bieber goes to Hillsong and stuff.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's a very popular like mega church. But yeah, they have like they have concerts every time you go. But yeah, I think you need that entertainment to be able to talk about stuff that's dry. Like,
so it was Hillsong, and then I went to Mosaic as well. So,
oh, Mosaic is it?
Mosaic is another one too. Yeah, I was like, wow.
I'm like,
damn, they have money. Let me tell you,
they have money. That's one thing, but they've made it a point to make it entertaining so that you can get as many people involved as
possible. But also at the same time, relatable.
Yes. Yeah. You have to be able, and like it all goes together. Like you have like to make sure people are engaged. And I think that's.
But again, that's effective communication, though. See.
Mm-hmm. And I think you need that when you're talking about very dry stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure, though. Yeah, I could definitely see Sammy doing insurance, but he hates teaching people anyway. So.
Yeah, I think I've always said this, where like I hate teaching. I think when I was like little, when I was in like third grade or something, I tutored other kids all the time, right?
Really?
Yeah, like that, like other people in my class, I would tutor them after school. Okay. I was a good tutor, you know, whatever. Okay? No, but like now school.
We can ask them how, because they're older now. So you can tell you the truth.
Oh yeah, I don't even know them anymore. Like they were so young. But yeah, I nowadays I'm like I can't teach people who are too dumb. Like that's like, that's like a I have
you
a level.
I
have a level, and you need to be at a certain level for me to teach you.
You gotta meet me this minimum level before I can teach
you.
Yeah,
like I think you need to know something about what I'm talking about and be willing to learn, because that's also a big thing. Like if you're not willing to learn, and I'm just
I agree. I feel like
teaching to you, it's not fun.
That factor of willing to learn is much crucial for me than knowing something or stuff for me.
Yeah, I also agree. Yeah, I agree with that. But like a lot of the times, if you haven't put in the effort to learn something yourself, then you're probably not interested, right?
That's true.
So that's really where I got that. But yeah, you're right. If they're willing to learn, I'm down to teach you or whatever. But a lot of times when you're like a high school teacher or even in college, like a first or second level college teacher, like those people don't want to learn. They're there to do other stuff, and like your class is just another class to them, not like what
it depends. So I had a good high school teacher that brought me, like led me to science and math stuff, you know, to engineering. He was my chemistry teacher, that became a physics teacher, mm-hmm. that became my AP Chem teacher, like, you know, like he was good, like,
mm-hmm.
And he made chemistry fun, and that's the reason why I got really good at chemistry, actually, believe it or not, like, because chemistry was itself is boring, but he made it entertaining, he made it applicable.
You think every subject is boring? Like, at some point, like at some level, it's all boring. Like,
it depends. It's what you find passion. Like, if you can find usefulness and passion to it, it depends, right? For me, like, at the beginning, the way I was learning chemistry, I thought was boring. But then I saw an application for it. I'm like, oh, wow, this shit is cool.
Yeah, like, I don't know. So for me, like, chemistry was always, like, interesting. Math was always interesting. But it could be that I was good at it, so it made it better. But, like, other people who, like, were like, oh, yeah, math is, like, the most boring subject ever.
Yeah,
I agree. And I feel like there's a level of every class that's like boring.
It's also how it's being introduced, though. You're gonna say that it's also how it's being introduced.
Yeah, you know? But would you be a good teacher?
No. Especially at this stage in point in life, I don't think I'll be a good teacher. I already know from my TA experience, but this is keep in mind. This is back in high school too and college. But I don't know. I do like teaching. I do find it. And challenging, because I like to see how many people I can keep engaged and not engaged, and I kind of notice that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I take it more of a challenge than more than just, hey, I want to teach, because you know what I mean, like, it's different for me, though.
I think I would just hate being in high school or like an intro college course where
That's a different story though.
Where
that's
like you have students that are looking to learn, but then you also have students who don't care at all, and I would hate that. Like I just don't like.
Okay, so here's an example, right? So I do training right now in my current job to a lot of new people who comes into new business process and new system. I do all the training for that. Mm-hmm. I don't mind doing that because I can see how I can relate to them how to fix their issue, how their business process can improve.
Yeah.
So I can relate to that. And they're engaged, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind teaching that. But if you're talking about something, if I could teach you calculus 2 right now, I would not want to do that just because...
I would teach an algebra class if the people wanted to learn algebra. You're going to get the 10% that want to learn, and then the 70% that are in the middle, and then the 30% that just don't want to be there at all. Yeah. And you're like,
to answer your question, school. Right? Do you think you asked me, hey, would I be a good teacher? At this point, at least I'm giving my reps. No, I'm pretty bad. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty bad. I actually haven't gotten a client told me that I'm bad yet, but which is good, you know. But I'm saying like there's always room for improvement, and especially the earlier in my stage of my career, you're not as confident, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now that you've done it so many times, you become more confident with it, though.
Yeah, I've done like Excel classes and
Excel is fun classes.
Yeah, Excel is fun by Robert. Yeah, I did that at work, like, so because people want to learn that stuff because they see us doing all kinds of crazy formulas and they want to learn how to do it. So I've taught that type of stuff, and it's engaged. Like people in the class are engaged and they like ask questions and stuff. So it's fun to do, but I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah, I've also done classes like that.
But do you think you're a good teacher though?
That's where I was going. Yeah, I don't know if I'm good. I think a lot of the times I'm like, yeah, we're gonna muddle through this together. Like,
gotcha.
We if I don't know, then we'll just try to figure it out right here, together. But at least we're in it together.
I feel like I bring the energy level, so it keeps them entertained to a certain degree. But I don't know. I there's always room for improvement. All right, so we're gonna wrap this episode with our rant. Robert, you have something for us today?
I don't have a rant, but I have like a top of mind type of thing where
what is this?
Yesterday, I guess, well, today is the March 27th. So on the 26th of March, there was a ton of tornadoes that went through Alabama and like destroyed big cities.
Oh, shit,
like,
I know that.
They said something like 19 tornadoes throughout the day.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and you look at pictures and videos, and it's like people's houses have got destroyed, and like it's just so much damage.
Yeah.
I didn't know Alabama had so many tornadoes. Like I didn't know that they were like a tornado hotspot.
Well, the whole Midwest it is.
I didn't know they were part of that. I thought it was like Kansas and Oklahoma. Yeah. I didn't know Alabama was part of it. But yeah, yesterday was a bad day. My thoughts go out to all the families and stuff that are affected. But it's
That's crazy. 19
tornadoes in one day. And then Sandy, right? Sandy's in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And so she sent me a picture of the map of where all the tornadoes were, and she wrote an X in the middle of like five of them that missed her. Like they were just all around. They just barely missed her. She said that like one of the tornadoes was like 2 miles away from her house, and like just missed her.
The good thing about most of this house, they do have basement to prepare for those though.
She said her house does it. So
her house doesn't. Oh, and
but she wasn't in Alabama at the time. She was like somewhere else. But she was like on her way home.
She's probably got family there.
She has family all around. It's crazy. I was that's like, tough. Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I didn't know this.
All right,
this
you know happened. What? I'm not going to say my rant after that story.
Oh my God, Mike, just go for it. Just go for it.
My rant was like, I got less than 2 weeks left to use my EpiPass.
Oh my God.
So we're going to wrap this episode. All right, but first, thanks for those who tuned in. Thanks for those who's watching our YouTube channel. Please don't forget to hit the like button, smash that subscribe button, please. Leave us some comments. You know, we'd like to hear back, see if you want to be on the podcast or some kind of topic you want us to discuss. That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be good to hear from you guys, and we can we can add that into our list of topics. And then anyone listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, any of your podcast apps, you can also leave us a rating as well.
Yeah, leave us a rating, subscribe too. You know.
Yeah.
And for you guys who want to watch the full episodes for the past, you know, you can always visit our website, www.gfodots.com. And all the episodes are there. Just visit us. So I guess anything else, Robert?
No, I think that's good. Yeah. We'll see you guys later.
See you guys later. Appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.
Peace.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. As always, we appreciate you. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. If you are listening to us, please leave us your honest review on your preferred podcast listening platform. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOT Thoughts. Drop a comment and give us some feedback. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, see you then.